I'm going to ask you to turn in your pew Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. That's the segment of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to look at today. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then we're going to look at verse 33, and then also Luke 22, 39 through 46, and a couple questions from the Heidelberg Catechism as well this morning as we continue our series, Breaking Down the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to... You're also going to realize that this whole topic that Courtney talked about this morning about grace on the go fits so well with this message today. And this is just a God thing, and I just love how God does this, because He does this over and over, and we do things like this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's our theme verse out of the Lord's Prayer this morning. Look at verse 33 with me as well. I want you to get an understanding of that too. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, is what He says. And then if you'd go to Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. And I'll note a key verse in here as well today. Now you know that He's in the Garden of Gethsemane here. And He's praying. He knows what's coming for Him as He's going to be led to the cross. The guards will come here in a short while. And so this is the Lord's Prayer. And you'll see Jesus' anguish here come out as well. But notice what He does. And I'll enlighten you to that as well as I read. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, He said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Now here's the key verse this morning, verse 42, that I want you just kind of hang on to this morning. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." So remember that verse this morning. "And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to the disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. 'Why are you sleeping?' he asked them. 'Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.'" And then also, if you have your outline with you this morning, on the back of that, you'll see the two question answers of the Heidelberg Catechism that I want to read as well this morning. Question answer 123. What does the second petition mean? "Your kingdom come" means, "Rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve your church and make it grow. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all." Question answer 124. What does the third petition mean? "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" means, "Help us and all people to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any back talk. Your will alone is good. Help us, one and all, to carry out the work we are called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read your word this morning, may you bring that word to life through your Spirit. And Lord, may these words be your words and never my own. And I pray that you fill me with that same Spirit as I preach this message to your people today. And Lord, may your Spirit fall upon your people today, that they may learn something new, that they may be challenged in their faith. And Lord, may you just open up their hearts, minds, and souls to receive and to grow in your word. In Jesus we pray, amen. Let me start off with a statement this morning. A very few of us who pray this prayer have a clear idea of what we are asking when we pray, "Let your kingdom come," on a kind of a deeper level. So we're going to learn that this morning when we say that in the prayer. Yet, in many ways, this is the central focus of the only prayer that Jesus taught you and I. Let your kingdom come. It's the central focus of Jesus' entire ministry, if you think about it, why he came to earth. Let your kingdom come, is what Jesus says. This is part of the Lord's Prayer that is a request or a plea that God's kingdom would fully come on earth. Now, we know that we are far from that today if you look at the world that we live in. There's work to do, isn't there? In other words, what God prefers is what he wants to actually happen, and he wants us to live it out through you and I as followers of Jesus Christ. And very often, this is not the case in the troubled world that you and I live in. It doesn't always go so easy. So this phrase of the Lord's Prayer is a reminder that we want to act in a way that God wants us to act and for the betterment of the world that we live in. You and I. Thy kingdom come demonstrates the need for our active participation in the coming of God's kingdom and doing of God's will in our lives. And so I want you to understand this next sentence I'm going to tell you this morning. So when you pray that sentence or that line, when you request that phrase in that prayer, thy kingdom come, it can't stop there. It's way more to how you live your life when you say that prayer. It's active, you're involved, you're required to do something in the midst of that phrase. You must understand that this morning. Because there's a significant difference between just praying this prayer and living out this prayer in your daily life. And so let's dig into this and let's get started this morning. Praying for God's will to be done on earth by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Notice the song that we sang this morning. It's only by the work of the Spirit that you have the ability to make changes in this world for Christ. You can never do it with your own flesh. You'll never accomplish that. So the Holy Spirit works among us and through us and requires our active participation and our full engagement. You know, and I couldn't help but think the word Christian or the word believer is a verb. Now, you might disagree with me if you're an English teacher, but for my sake today, a Christian or a believer is a verb. Means that you're active and you're doing something in your life. We have work to do. But there are also things that you need to sort through, that I need to sort through in my life, that we need to be aware of. So let's explore that just a little bit this morning. Now here's a phrase I want to make, and this comes from another pastor, and I don't know who wrote this, but it's good, so I cannot claim this phrase, but listen to this. Because not everything that happens in this world is the will of God. Well, you're probably thinking, well, God, I know that, right? But let's go a little deeper with that this morning. God would not have had to send Jesus to this world if everything that happened was God's will. Would you agree with that statement? And I hope that you would this morning. Jesus would not have had to include this in his prayer if it was God's will and everything that happened was God's will. But for some reason, Jesus said, you need to pray for this. Thy kingdom come. Sometimes the will of God is easy to see. Sometimes it gets confused with the evilness of this world and it's harder to sort through in our lives. For example, let me give you some easy ones that you might understand that happen in the world, but yet they're hard to take in because we don't always agree or understand, God, what are you doing with some of these situations? Because they aren't always God's will. I don't believe it's ever God's will for a child or an adult to be physically or sexually abused. And as followers of Christ, you and I would probably agree upon that. I don't believe it's ever God's will for someone to beat his or her spouse, child, our significant other. There's no place in the Christian life for that kind of a lifestyle. That's not God's will. I don't believe that it's God's will for Kendra Vanessa to live with a rare muscle disease. I don't believe that it's God's will for Jake Dieters to be undergoing tests once again for possible kidney cancer. Or for a loved one who struggles with an addiction. I don't believe that pornography is part of God's will. When those sorts of things occur, it's because of the influence of sin and evil in the world that we live in, not because it's God's will. It's your job to sort through those things. You and I need to be aware of the things that go on in our lives. We need to make sure that we choose the things of God's will for our lives. Now you're saying, well, I can't choose certain things, and that's okay, I get that, because that's part of life. Kendra can't choose what's going on in her life. It's a result of the world we live in. But there are things that you and I can choose to stay away from that are not God's will, such as pornography, or alcohol, or drugs. If you have an addiction problem, you can't go there. Or whatever it might be that's also maybe not God's will in your life, that you shouldn't be crossing that line. And maybe you're not even aware that you're doing something that's not God's will. And so your prayer maybe needs to be, God, can you reveal those things in my life that are not part of your will in my life? That's something that you need to have a discussion with between you and God to identify those things and pray for those things. Yet, when we pray, your kingdom come, we pray in the midst of a kingdom that remains extremely vulnerable to human free will and the powers that oppose God's will and work in this world. There's evil all around us. You don't have to go very far to find that. Do you? But did you also know that when we pray for a kingdom that has great potential to transform sinful individuals, the potential to transform sinful institutions and the world, beginning with ourselves? Prayer transforms people's lives. Jesus changes people's lives when you and I pray for those things. And it can be for yourself. It can be for others, whatever it might be, there's power in prayer. And I think Jesus wanted us to understand that this morning. And in praying in God's kingdom to come, and God's will to be done on earth, we are praying that we will work with God. Notice what we say when you say that we will work with God to accomplish what the Lord wants. The Lord's will. For you and I, for our communities, for our schools, for our churches, for our families, for our loved ones. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have ever kayaked or canoed down a river? Anybody done that? Or a lake? Very good. Okay, so now, I'm going to ask you a specific question here. How many of you have ever been on a river before that's kind of full and flowing at a pretty decent clip? Anybody ever done? You've kayaked or canoed a river, right? How about the Sioux River? Anybody done that yet this spring? There's a few hands, right? It's flowing pretty good right now. But let me share a story with you about God's will that pertains, that you might be able to relate to this morning. Imagine yourself in a kayak or canoe on the Sioux River, flowing with a fairly strong current, which you know it's been fairly full for several months now. But when you're in the center of God's will, our life moves in God's intended path. It's like paddling a canoe down the center of the river, carried by the current. It's pretty easy, isn't it? And you move at a pretty good clip. Life isn't so bad when you're in the middle of the river in the current or in the mainstream of the path, right? Things are pretty smooth when you're in that area. there's a degree of freedom that you can kind of move your kayak a little bit from side to side too, isn't there? As you go down the river, you might be gazing off at, well, look at those birds, or wow, look at that, whatever it might be on the shore, a beaver running along there, or a muskrat. You can look at those things and you still stay fairly in the stream. Now just hang with me here for a little bit. However, the further that you and I venture from the center of God's will, the closer we get to the edge, the more perilous it becomes. Because when you get along the edge of the river to the bank, you're going to start running into downed trees, and there might be a stump sticking out over here, or maybe a rock that could be there that you can't see, whatever it might be. When you get to the edge, things become more perilous. There are hidden obstacles that can cause you and I to get caught or even tip over in that river. It's also extremely difficult to paddle upstream. Has anybody tried going upstream in the river? So here's the thing. When you're going against God's will, you're going to feel like you're paddling upstream in the river. You're going to be working your tail off. Your arms are going to start to get tired. Your body's going to get weak. You're going to run out of breath, and you're going to wonder, what am I doing? You see, life is like that. When you go against God's will, or you move out of the flow against the side of the river, and you get caught up in some bad things, you're probably not in God's will in your life. Life can be exhausting sometimes. Are you living in God's will? Might be a good question to ask this morning. Now I want you to go a step further with me. Imagine that you're in the canoe now, and you're in the back of the canoe, and Jesus is sitting in the front of the canoe. All right? And you're going through life, and every once in a while, Jesus turns around, and he's going to say this to you. Are you sure this is where you want to go? Because he'll let you go there. How many of you have ever had that happen in your life? Are you sure this is where you want to be? As it pertains to God's will in your life? Because he will allow the canoe to go to that place. And life won't be very fun there. You will struggle. It will be hard. You will get tired. You will get exhausted. Jesus is still with you, but he's also wondering, how long is it going to take before he figures this out, or she figures this out, and they decide to turn around? How far will this person go before they realize how far away from God's will they're living their lives? We need to pray. We need to strive for God's will in our lives. Not our will. Notice what I said. Hang on to that verse 42 this morning when Jesus prayed that in the garden. Dear Heavenly Father, may you take this cup from me that I know I need to go to the cross. And then he says, not my will, but your will. How often do we live life like that? Jesus knew what was before him. And he asked for that cup to be removed. But Jesus also knows that this is not a part of God's will or plan. And so now you might be wondering, where am I going to go with this? How many of you live in the tension of God's will and your own will in your lives? And I would dare to bet that I would get, if I asked that question, everybody would raise their hand. 100% of us are in that tension of God's will and our life, of the things we want to do, the things that we get excited about in life, the things that we want to do in life, and so on and so on. Living in the tension of our will and God's will is where we can find life to be hard and difficult at times. But let me also tell you that you will also find the most blessings, maybe the deepest part of faith that you'll ever grow in when you search that out in your life. And oftentimes, life will look much easier, and at times it will seem more fulfilling when we follow our own will. When we think we know what's best for ourselves. When we don't reach to God and pray for, God, what do you want me to do with this situation? Or how should I act in this situation? Or do you want me to take this job? Or should I stay where I'm at? And on it can go. But also let me give you some encouragement here this morning. If we are followers of Christ living in this tension of God's kingdom or His will versus our will, it's a good place to be. Because what's your alternative? To live outside of God's will totally, and that's a terrible place to be. You don't want to be there. We know where the end leads in that situation, to death. You're in a good place when the tension is there. That's where you need to be. If we're followers of Christ, you're striving for the kingdom of God here on earth when you live in that tension. You know, tension keeps us moving. It draws us closer to God when we live in that tension. This tension that I'm speaking of wants God's kingdom to be recognized here on earth. It was what you and I pray for that will happen when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what we pray for. And at times, you and I will see glimpses of heaven here on earth. When Courtney said, tell us some of your stories where you see God working when you get into that grace on the go, that's what she's talking about. Where do you see God working in people's lives? Share those stories that encourage us and build us up that we know that God's alive because they're out there. They're there. Times when you see God move in a mighty way. Times when we see people being healed, prayers being answered, individuals and families doing good and striving for the kingdom of God here on earth as they live life. That's what that prayer means. That's what that prayer looks like. This is what we long for. This is what we pray for. And boy, there are days that you and I probably pray, Jesus, come today. Come today. So we see glimpses, and yet we wait for the fullness of His kingdom to come. And we patiently wait. We eagerly wait for Jesus to come one day. And that's exciting. Did you know something else that I learned this past week? And you guys, you know, you're way smarter than I am in a lot of this stuff, but when God created heaven and earth, this separation between heaven and earth, this was not part of His plan. That's not how it was supposed to go. And most of you say, yeah, we realize that, you know. And sin entered into the world through the garden of Adam and Eve, and God was hanging out with His people in the garden, and He was having conversations with them, and He was taking care of them, and then things got a little messy. Right? And the Father said, I can't stay by this sin. I'm going to heaven. And He closed off the garden, and Adam and Eve knew that they'd done wrong. And we live in that world today still, don't we? Of a place filled with sin. And as we know, so sin enters the world, and Satan tries to push his kingdom through his demons and those who work for him in the world that you and I live in. There's two kingdoms that we live in. The kingdom of Satan's and the kingdom of our Lord. Which one are you going to fight for? Which one are you going to live in? And that's why followers of Christ strive for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The heavenly kingdom is a place on earth that feeds the hungry. You know, here's your go-to things that you need to know about as you live life. They feed the hungry. It gives drinks to those who are thirsty. And it welcomes the stranger at your table. That's what it looks like. The Lord's Prayer imagines a restored cooperation between the reign of God in heaven and the reign of God on earth as it once was. That's what we pray for. And so here's my question for you this morning. Here's your challenge. Our job as believers is to make earth like heaven. That's your job. And the way you live your life, the way you love people, maybe the way you don't love people. See, there's always a decision that you and I will make. What are you going to do with that? What are you doing in your life to make this happen on a day in, day out way? It's your challenge today. That's your take home today. What are you doing to build the kingdom? And where do we find the kingdom being built best? It's built best when we look at the life of Jesus Christ and his ministry here on earth. That's the example we're given. How to live. How should we do things? How should we pray? How should we treat others? When do we go help the poor and the sick? Always. What should we do it with? Everything you got. So what he says. Let me share another story with you this morning to bring this to light. Pastor Fred Craddock. Have you ever heard of him before? He's deceased now. Very prominent pastor. You might catch him on radios once in a while. He's gone, but just a great pastor. Well, he was a pastor to a group of pastors one time, and he gave this speech to these pastors. And I just want to show you just a little bit about what that looks like when we're supposed to bring the kingdom of God to earth. All right, you see the pictures on the screen there this morning. As you roll through this story, just kind of look at those pictures. And this is what he said in his story. To give my life for Christ appears glorious. We think giving our all to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill and laying it on the table before God. And we say to God, here's my life. I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that God sends us to the bank and he uses us. He wants us to cash that $1,000 bills into quarters. I don't know how many, what are you, anybody good mathematician out there? If you have a $1,000 bill, how many quarters would that be? Somebody do the math on that just for me a minute, and I'll ask you just in a little bit as I continue my story. But here's the point he's trying to make. When you go through life, you give out 25 and 50 cents here and there as you share the love of Christ throughout your entire life. It's not a one-shot deal, and here it is, Lord. I've given my life. See, that's the hard part about being a Christian, is that it never ends, and you continually need to express yourself through 25 and 50 cents at a crack with those opportunities that God lays before you and I. What does that look like? How many of you have taken the time to just sit and listen to your neighbor or your neighbor's kid? How many of you have maybe gone to a neighbor who has cancer or is dying from something? How many of you have been in the nursing home lately and visited with those who live there, spent a Sunday afternoon, have coffee with them, have a cookie with them? Because usually giving our life to Christ is not glorious. It's not glorious. It's done in those little acts of love, 25 cents at a time. That's what it looks like over a long period of your life. That's how God's glory is shown here on earth. That's what we pray for when we say, thy kingdom come. 25 cents at a time, you and I, living life with Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you and I are going to pray that prayer, we better be prepared to live this way. That's what Jesus teaches us. And all of God's people say.